This sermon audio was recorded after this sermon was originally preached on May 24th, 2020. We did it due to the low quality of the sermon video. This is our final Sunday with our current sermon series on Psalm 23. Over the last 3 weeks, we had the opportunity to read and meditate on these ancient words of the best loved psalm and to reflect our lives in the light of its messages. On our first Sunday, we gave our attention to the very first line of this poem, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." With that popular leading phrase, we asked ourselves whether we say it with whole heart, meaning that we are a sheep in need of a good shepherd and in need of other sheep, instead of acting as if we are the shepherd for our life with no need of being in a community with others. On the second Sunday in this series, I invited you to think about what it means to lie down in green pastures by our good shepherd, be led by him to restful waters, and guided to the right path. Then last Sunday, our focus was on fearing no evil, even when we are deep down in the darkest valley. In this life, we are surrounded by evil and all different harms, but the real threat is perhaps the fear of evil, which lures us to give ourselves into the life-destroying powers. We shouldn't, we won't, because the Good Shepherd is with us, and we get our eyes of our heart set on him. Today, we finish this sermon series as we ponder more deeply on the final two verses. There are a lot that this last paragraph has to offer for us to live an abundant life in a close relationship with our good shepherd. Actually, it seems that David now uses a different imagery than a good shepherd. He describes his relationship to God here by employing the imagery of a mighty and gracious host. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." In fact, there was a moment when David was anointed with oil when he was young, as he was the center of attention among the gathered crowd. We read that story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It was when the prophet Samuel came to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel. People in the town must be very interested in that great prophet's visit to the town. At that time, when Samuel was inspecting David's older brothers in his house, David, a young boy, was, as usual, out shepherding the sheep. David was not even considered by his father as a candidate for king. At the request of Samuel, the youngest finally came. Despite David's small stature, Samuel realized that the youngest son, David, was the one chosen by God. Then Samuel ceremoniously anointed David in front of the surely perplexed brothers, who were more likely candidates than David, only to the eyes of people. As Samuel selected not the others but David, the prophet said, "God is looking at the heart." Since then, David knew well that it is our heart that truly matters to God. This way, his 23rd Psalm invites us to examine our heart to see whether we desire what God desires and see what God wants us to see. As God is on our side, are we on God's side? As God invites us to sit at the table with him, yes, in other words, as if God invites us to meet and worship him and celebrate the gift of life with him here, are we fully present in his presence? Or are many thoughts running 100 miles through our head and swirling around in it even when we are here? The same challenge comes in the following concluding line, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me." Yes, like all the preceding lines, this phrase sounds soft sweet, and easy at first. This is truly a beautiful affirmation of a faith, but this is a voice of a reorganized, refocused, reoriented life. Let me tell you more about it. Here, the word follow literally means pursue. David asserts here that we are being chased by God's powerful love. God's friendliness and kindness runs after us to grab us and hold us. As we saw in the beginning part of this psalm, God our shepherd walks before us, leading us from the front to places of rest and refreshment, and to places of food and protection. But also God is behind us. God's goodness follows us from behind as well. One of our my favorite prayers, known as St. Patrick's Breastplate, says this blessed assurance: Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. I bet you like the image of Christ being all around you. As for me, I had no problem or reluctance to give a shout to that image of Jesus being around me. However, it was true until I read one commentary that was written by Walter Brueggemann, a renowned Old Testament scholar. He said that this may mean that we are no longer in control. Then I paused and asked myself, can I like to see Jesus leading ahead of me, chasing after me, holding me from the side in ways that I have to give up my control? These days, while living these disrupted times, I desire to run free more than any other time. It's fair, isn't it? However, for sure, one lesson that this psalm teaches me during this time is that it is also true that I have to let myself be caught and embraced in love by Christ, like that of a sheep with safe pasture, like the young David who was thought to be the last candidate but was anointed and given a table with rich and unexpected food. As Walter Brueggemann continues to say in his commentary on Psalm 23, I quote here, "Our life is not willed by God to be an endless anxiety. It is rather meant to be an embrace, but that entails being caught by God." Being embraced and being caught. With these images, which are perhaps the same or different, we now move to the second concluding line, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." With this, are we saying, "I will hang around the church all the time"? Having been going through this shelter-at-home quarantine season, we have learned anew that church is not a building, and that church happens wherever we are, even online. Here, when we gather online, it is a real gathering. The stories we share, the concerns we share, the connections we have here are real connections. Oh, please don't get me wrong. I do miss gathering in person dearly. Good news is that we have a date set up for our returning to in-person Sunday services. It'll be June 21st. To some of you, it feels too late. To others, it feels too early. At first, I had one of these feelings, but I have decided to agree to that timeline, which is recommended by Bishop and his COVID-19 task force. Bishop Zhang asks us to accept it as we are all together, one connectional body in this Wisconsin annual conference. He reminds us that we are connected to one another in a covenant of Christian love. Then he ends his letter in these words: "Let us live out this covenant together with the spiritual fruit of patience, by refraining from holding worship services in our building until at least Monday, June 15. I'm aware of what our president announced last Friday about houses of worship being essential places that should be open right now. I'm glad that he is right when he says that many Americans embrace worship as an essential part of their lives. And like he said, we need more prayers, not less. But the truth is that these are what we have continued to do in our lives regardless we are apart physically during this time. We, as a church, have never been closed. Since the very beginning of this outbreak of the pandemic, one thing that I have kept saying to myself and to you is we continue to be the church. Worship and prayer have never ceased. Care and serving have not stopped. Again, I do miss gathering in person dearly. But we are not ready for it yet. Even if our safety guideline and disinfecting protocols will be completed by next Sunday based on our good knowledge of our own demographical and ministerial context, I will wait with our United Methodist congregations of the Wisconsin Conference in the covenant of being a connectional church together, and I will do it absolutely with my deep care, respect, and love for all of you, especially the vulnerable among us. Again, we continue to be the church. Our ministry and life together have never been stopped or shut down. If you have been feeling forgotten or left out, please first forgive me and allow me to serve you better by letting me know what you feel these days. Coming back to the concluding line of this psalm, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The writer of this psalm, David, his desire might be to go back to the tabernacle and to worship there in that space. Well, for your information, the temple was not yet built in David's day. Although he desired to build a temple, this task was left to his son Solomon. We read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Some say that here David is talking about the future in eternity when he can visit and sit in awe in a heavenly temple. However, it may well be that David is here simply looking forward to continued fellowship and communion with God as he has already experienced it in his life, in the green pastures, in the barren land of Judean wilderness, being on a run in the cave, and feeling honored at the table of victory celebration after an arduous battle. God's goodness and mercy evoke the same response from us. We worship not because of a good life circumstance. We worship not in a beautiful tabernacle, but as Jesus said in John chapter 4, we worship in spirit and in truth. We worship with our heart, which is where the Spirit of God dwells. We realize it these days better than any other time. What we need most for true worship is a deep desire to live in attentive communion with God our whole life long, in all places, at all times, in all the ways we can. Yes, all places and all times. Jesus' ascension to heaven tells us that the one who is known to be ascended to heaven can be present simultaneously anywhere and everywhere on earth. Yes, the ascension of the Lord, which we celebrate this Sunday, means that Jesus is available and accessible anytime and any place through His Spirit. We don't have to travel to a particular spot on the earth to find Jesus. That was the way the first disciple experienced Jesus. But the story of the ascension of the Lord tells us that Jesus has not left us. Rather, like the air, He is as close as our next breath, right here and right now. So we can say, not with our love for the church building,
but with the love of our Lord and Savior, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is our promise, to live not a life apart from the Lord, but a life close to God in the premises of God's life. This is our promise, to live a life after God's heart, life of worship, life with the true joy and purpose of life, which are to love God and be loved by God, no longer alone, but in communion with God, in a community of faith, no longer only in a certain place, but everywhere, at every step in our life journey, where we can feel the community of faith. We read this psalm together during a time of a pandemic. What should I now conclude this series with? What should I want you to take from this series? It is that Jesus calls you and me not to ritual, but to a relationship. Not simply to a building, but more essentially to a community, which can happen anywhere and everywhere. May you today know that you've got it, because your Lord is the Good Shepherd, because you are not alone, but with your brothers and sisters of faith, your journey continues. And where your love for Christ and His people is, it is a dwelling of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.